As I was preparing the message this morning for this passage and trying to keep things tied together, as I said earlier, everything in the Old Testament points towards the cross, and everything in the New Testament reflects or comes from the cross. One of, I think, the best passages in the Old Testament to point to the cross, to our Redeemer, is found in Ruth. And so if you would turn to Ruth chapter 2 this morning, that's where we're going to start. And so if you would, read along with me. It said, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him whose sight I shall find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord bless you. The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on this, on the field they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly of your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread, and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. So she rose to glean. Boaz instructed the young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out what she and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." And Naomi also said to her, "This man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just pray right now that you would just slow me down. Lord, help me to focus on your word. Help me to share what you have given me. Lord, we pray that your spirit would move among us, that you would teach us and you would guide us. Lord, in all that we do, Lord, I pray that we'd seek to honor you this morning. Pray that your spirit would move. Lord, draw us into the relationship we need to have with you. In your name I pray. Amen. There's a lot more reading than I normally do, But sometimes it's one verse, sometimes two. Here it's 20. So as we look at these verses, though, there was something that I did not want to leave out in these. Because we've got Ruth, who is from Moab. Most of you probably know the story. If you don't, she came back with her mother-in-law after their husbands had passed away. She stayed with Naomi. She said, "Your God will be my God and your people will be my people." And she made a choice in her life to stay with Naomi. Well, when they got back, if you did not have a husband, you didn't have anybody to take care of you. And you had no income. You would have no food. And so by Mosaic law, part of the way of taking care of widows and orphans and travelers was that they were able to glean in the field. Well, to glean in the field basically meant if there was a big field, the harvesters were not able to harvest the corners. They wouldn't harvest the corners and maybe some of the edges, and they were to leave that there for people that were not very well off or that were going through a hard time to be able to come and pick that up and have some scraps, basically, you might say, to eat. And so that's what it meant by gleaning. Well, here we have, in this area, there would be a big field, and different people would own plots in that field. And so they would go out and they would work the field, and their harvesters would work that field. And the field that she ended up going to was the plot, ended up being Boaz, who owned that land. And he had harvesters working there, and he had servants that would work there as well. And so that's the background of this. And then something takes place that I think can relate to any of us as we look at it. Ruth and Naomi had come to a point that they were needing food. And so Ruth says, "Let me go out and glean in the field. Let me go out and try to make money. Let me go out," or not money, "but let me go out and try to pick up some food for us to eat." And so she realized she was in a pretty rough spot. Now, you and I have gone through things in our life that can put us in a pretty rough spot. Here she's sitting with no income. She's wanting to take care of somebody but doesn't have a way. And so as they set out to do this, one of the things she had to do was to fulfill that need of hunger. But Ruth did not just look at herself. She didn't just look at the fact that she's going out to get her food. She's going out to take care of somebody else. And so as she sees this need, she begins to try to fill this need on her own. I don't know about you guys, but there's been several times in my life when I'd have a need that I try to take care of it myself. Try to do something. I try to maneuver the situation into a way to take, so I can say I took care of it myself. Here, Ruth is going out. She's going to do everything she can. So she finds this field where there's other people. There's harvesters working. There's other servant girls out there. And so she kind of goes to this field. And something that we don't want to miss, she says earlier that she might go to a field where she might find favor. Boy, did she ever find favor. And I love the wording in it. This is the ESV. It says that she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz. You know, when people say that this is a coincidence that she went to Boaz's field, that's not a coincidence. That's the field that God sent her to. She ended up in the perfect field. And as they come together and she's working from morning till night, and she rested once, it tells us. And so as she does that, Boaz just happens to come. Again, just happens to show up. And as he just happens to show up, he notices this young lady out there working. And the harvesters say, "She's been working all day. She's been working serious. She's connected to that Naomi that came back from Moab." And so she's working as hard as she can. She didn't expect handouts. The men in the field noticed how hard she worked, and they told Boaz. This is what's taking place. And then Boaz does something. He provides water for her. Now, he didn't have to do that, but that's what he did because he saw how she worked. And he provided water for her. He provided protection. He said, I will not let any of the men bother you. So he gives her water and protection. And then when it comes lunchtime, he offers for her to come over and to sit down and to eat at the mealtime. And they passed roasted grain to her, and she was able to dip the morsel in the wine, and she was able to sit there and eat with the harvesters. Now here she is. She's not just a servant girl from somebody. She is a stranger from another land that really is able to glean because of the Mosaic law. But what she does is she's now sitting at the table, or you might say the table. She's sitting alongside the men of Boaz and eating at the same thing that they're eating. And he's taking care of her, and she has some left over. And so she tucks it away. It's kind of like when you go to that restaurant and you take your doggy bag home. When I take the doggy bag home, it's for me. I don't know about you guys, but when I take the doggy bag home, it's for me. Well, here, Ruth is taking the doggy bag home, as you might say, for Naomi. Again, she's not thinking of herself. And so she's been given now protection. She's been given water. She's been given food. And then not only that, Boaz tells the men, leave some extra. To actually glean was to, when the harvesters would come through with a sickle and they would cut it down, anything that they didn't get on the first pass, any stalks that were still standing, they were to leave those. And that was part of the gleaning process. Anything that they didn't bundle up. Well, here Boaz says, pull a few out of the bundle and toss them down for her. And so he goes above and beyond what he needed to do. And he gives her the opportunity to take what she's been blessed with back and to share it. Now, I say all of that and it's kind of just running back over what's happened. But now I want to get to the serious part. Because the kinsman redeemer was what Boaz was. He was a relative of Naomi's who was in charge of, a relative would be responsible for taking care of a person that was going through trouble or danger or was in need. That kinsman redeemer was the one that was responsible, and he could come through and he could accept that idea of being the kinsman redeemer, and they would come into his family and he would take care of them. And as I think about that this week, I want us to look very seriously at what Jesus Christ did for us. Because so many times we take and we'll come and we take communion and we focus on what Jesus did for us, and then we go out and we go back to life. But what He's done for us is exactly what the Redeemer did for Ruth. He saw us at a time that our life was broken. Maybe our life is still broken. We're all broken. But at some point in our life, something, you know, because of the sin in our life, we needed to be, for lack of a better word, fixed, if that's possible. We had that sin in our life that causes us to fall short of what Jesus Christ has for us, what He calls us to be. And so He sent one to accept us and to redeem us that didn't need to, didn't have to. Just like Boaz didn't have to accept Ruth. But he chose to. And she said, Why have I found favor in your eyes? And very few days go by that I don't think about that. Why did I find favor in God's eyes? Sometimes I think as Christians, we just feel like we deserve it. We feel like it's something, well, it's got to happen. You know, it's just the way it is. But the fact that we found God's unmerited favor, that grace, He's offered us the same things that Boaz offered Ruth. Look at these. When he offered her water. If you get thirsty, go over and what the men have drawn, take water. Jesus Christ has offered you living water. As the Redeemer sent from heaven, He is offering you living water. And as that Redeemer comes down, not only does He do that, but He gives Ruth that opportunity to sit at His table with His other people. He has offered us the bread of life. And then He's offered us His protection. When we look at this passage and we see how that kinsman redeemer came in and offered unmerited favor to Ruth, and I look at my life and I say, God, why do you love me? God, why have you offered up your son to die on the cross for me? Why have you given and cared for me when I am a stranger? I am a sinner. Why have you done that? Well, we know that if we look at this, the kinsman redeemer, like I said, he was from the clan of Elimelech, which was Naomi's husband. And so if you were in that kin, then you were one of the few, depending on how many in that clan there were, one of the few that could redeem those people. But for us, there is only one that can redeem us. And that is God's Son. God's Son is the only one that can redeem us. So as we look at this kinsman redeemer compared to our Redeemer, where are you at? And I want to ask you that question so that you would say, okay, I'm not as bad off as Ruth and Naomi. I haven't lost all my family. But man, I'm in a spot where things are tight. I don't have the food. Things are falling apart. God knew exactly where Ruth was at. God knew exactly where Naomi was at. And He placed her in the perfect field. There are so many times in our lives that we think, and how did I get so messed up in this situation? How do I get out of this situation and get back to where I need to be? Like Ruth, we just say, man, I want to go somewhere where I'll find favor. I want to find favor in God's eyes. If I find myself in a situation that seems broken and desperate and in trouble, I need to get to that point of saying, I need to get to that point of saying, God, I need to be in your favor. I want to be where you want me to be. And then God will place you where He wants you. He will put you in the field He needs you to be in. And as long as Ruth stayed in this field, Boaz said, stay in this field, don't go anywhere else. You've got protection here. You've got water here. You've got food here. You've got me supplying your needs here. Too many times as Christians, we want to find God's favor, but we don't want to stay in His field. I want to wander to a different field. That field looks better over there. Man, the world seems to be enjoying that field over there. But the Redeemer says, stay in my field. Stay here where you've got my favor. She found favor in His eyes, and we found favor in God's eyes. God placed her in the perfect field and had her stay there. He didn't just have her stay in His field. He placed her at His table. Think about that. As Christians, when we find favor in God's eyes and Christ has redeemed us, man, I get to be a part at God's table. Man, everything should be easy from now on. Man, halfway through the day, Ruth is there and she's working, and Boaz says, come over and sit at our table and eat. Man, this is great. But then what happens? After lunch is over, she had to go back and glean until evening. That's our problem. Too many of us want to come to God's table and then just sit there. We just want to come to God's table and say, God, feed me, and just bring me my blessings. And he says, no, I still have something for you to do out in my field. I still have some gleaning for you to do out in my field. You have to put forth some effort, Steve. It's not just all going to be handed to you. And she went back out, and it was still the same hot temperature it was before lunch. But now she knew she would always have a seat at the Redeemer's table. So once she accepted the Redeemer's offer to come to his table, she knew that even if she had to go back out and glean, he tells her to keep coming back here. Don't go to another field. Stay with me. Stay with my harvesters. Glean in my fields. God is calling us as Christians. Once we've accepted that call, that offer to come to his table, for him to be our Savior and Lord, then we need to get up and go back out and glean a little. It's not going to be easy, but that's what he calls us to do. And no matter what field he puts you in, he may put some of you in a nice cotton field. I know they look so soft. I've never picked cotton, but I've talked to people that have, and they say it's not very soft. I don't know what field God's going to call you to. But God's going to call you to a field to glean and work until evening. Then Ruth, after she's gleaned till evening, she goes back and she takes her doggy bag, and 30 pounds, an ephah is somewhere between 30 and 40 pounds of grain that she had picked up off of the ground, and she had beat it out and put it in this bushel, and she had taken it back and she brought it to Naomi. She had had the opportunity to sit at the Redeemer's table. She took her blessings. She took her overflow back to her family. Too many times we want to just keep our blessings. Man, I'm going to take my doggy bag, I'm going to set it in the refrigerator, and then when I'm hungry, I'm going to have another meal. I'm going to take the blessings God gives me, and I'm going to hoard it away. And then when time comes that things are looking down, I'll look back and remember the blessings that God has given me. It's kind of selfish. But what if Ruth had took her food back, the excess that she had, and stowed it away under her mattress and saved it for her for later? She didn't do that. Because she knew she had that opportunity to be back at the Redeemer's table. So as we wrap up this morning, I know there are people maybe here, maybe watching, that don't know Jesus Christ. That don't know that this understanding, this Redeemer deal, this Jesus paying the price for our sins. Understand, it's just like this Redeemer, Boaz. He comes in and he takes and he accepts Ruth as a stranger, and he wipes away all of her brokenness of being hungry and provides for her a place in the family. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's what God has sent his son to die on the cross to take away my brokenness, to wipe away the sin in my life, the penalty for the sin in my life, so that I could live my life for him, that I would eternally have a seat at his table. And why would I not want to take that back and share that with somebody? So if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you're going through a time, maybe it's something that's going on in your life, I don't know. But there's a brokenness and you find yourself wandering around in a field. There's a Redeemer watching you. And all you've got to do is accept his offer to come to his table. And Ruth didn't have to pay anything. Ruth didn't have to do anything except accept his offer. And then with that offer comes an effort. When we accept Jesus Christ, He's willing to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then He wants us to live for Him. If you're a Christian, you're going to find yourself in a broken field at some point in your life. But you need to know that the Redeemer is watching you, and He knows what field you're in. And no matter how hard you're having to work, no matter what you're having to do, you've got a seat at his table. Take that grace and share that with others. Because they're wandering around in a field. Maybe struggling because we're picking up 30 pounds of grain with our fingertips. And sometimes it just feels like it's falling apart. But we have a Redeemer waiting for us. He's watching us. He knows what field you're in. He has a place for you at his table. All you've got to do is accept it. Come to the Master's table. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for this passage that points to what you did for us. Lord, may we seek to honor you. Lord, if there's anybody in this room, and I know there is, that is struggling, is hurting, that finds themselves just wandering around, Lord, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Lord, move in a mighty way. Lord, take the jumbled words I spoke this morning and use them to glorify yourself. I thank you and I praise you. Move among us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.